And on Friday mornings, we have our men's Bible study and prayer breakfast, and this was assigned to me, and then we didn't have, and as I was studying this, the Lord taught me some great lessons from it, and I wanted to just share with you what God has shared with me. When I was in California, I got quite a few calls, and one of the calls I got, it was a local number, and I answered it, and the person on the other end said, "This is the Champaign Police Department." And they, "Are you Bob Hass?" "No, I'm not now." No, they said, "There's an alarm going off in your house, and your neighbors called. We're standing out, we're out in front of your house." I went, "Oh, no, I don't have an alarm system." And so what I found out later on, it was every smoke alarm went off in our house. So I had to call Brandon and Terry, and they came over, and I had the lady, it was a lady police officer, and she said, "Is there anyone in the house?" I said, "No." And so I gave her the code to the garage door. And then my wife said, "What if that was a prank call? What if that wasn't really a scam?" I said, "Oh, well, they know how to get into our house now." And so they went in there, they were going off, and I had called Brandon if he could go by there. And so I had to call the police department back and say, "There is a guy in the house now. Don't shoot him." We had a great time, and I got to spend a lot of time with the Lord. And I understand this, that all of us, whether you realize it or not, we really need the Word of God. And I'm thankful you're here this morning, because if it wasn't for God's Word, we would all be in trouble. We need God's Word day by day. And you know, we have a Bible reading plan. That's just not so you can check off the list and say, "Okay, I read the Bible today, and I'm right with God." No, it's for you. Because Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If you trust in your own wisdom, you will be deceived. You think your way is right, and it's not. We need God's Word. And I'm so thankful that we have the freedom to preach the Word of God in our country. And folks, when you have an opportunity to come to church, go to church, but listen. You know, your mind can be wandering this morning. You can be thinking about, "Okay, what am I going to do after the service? I hope the weather isn't bad." It's not too bad, all right? And, you know, there's a lot of things. You can think about your problem, but think about God's Word. He has a message for you this morning. In Isaiah chapter 50, my question this morning, are you living in darkness? Now, darkness comes to all of us. Now, I wish, and I think it's wrong for us, if you ever lead someone to the Lord and you tell them, "Now, your life will be easy. It'll be a bed of roses. You won't have any more problems." No, you know what? Once you get saved, you have all kinds of problems. But I'm thankful for this, that God is with you in all those problems. And you might, right now, might be going through a time of darkness. I talked to a man in my office on Friday, and he said, "You know, I can think back to times of darkness in my life, and I went through this time of darkness and that time of darkness." And maybe you're not going through a time of darkness right now. You can praise God for that. But if you're going through a time of darkness, I trust this sermon will be a help and a blessing to you this morning. Because what do we do when we go through times of darkness? And if you look around the auditorium this morning, you think, "You know, that person, they never struggle." You don't know that person well enough. Because when you really get to know someone, you find out they have some darkness in their life. And because we live on the wrong side of heaven, we all experience darkness in our lives. And darkness can come in many different forms. Because I have a disease, I need to use electric scooter when I go through the airports. And people, like, you know, when they see me, they're like, "Where'd you get that? Wow, you're so lucky you don't have to walk." Like, I like to walk, all right? And so when we get up to the gate, they allow the handicapped people to go first. And so people that pay $15 to fly in Southwest and they get to go first, no, I get to go before them, and I don't pay anything, all right? I mean, right after the pilot goes, you know, he gets on board, then I get to go on board, and I drive my scooter up to the door usually, and then I hang onto the wall of the plane and then get into my seat and talk to the pilot a little bit. But usually they scoop me up to pre-board, and I drive my scooter up, and there's people in wheelchairs, and I was able to hand out quite a few of my tracts, and I gave my tract to a lady. She was in a wheelchair. And she read the tract, and I'm just praying for her. I'm thinking, Lord, please, work in her heart. And she looked at me after she read the tract. She said, wow, that really blessed my heart. She said, my life has been really hard lately. She said, I had a place in paradise, and it burned down to the ground. And now I'm going to my granddaughter's wedding shower, and she has MS. She has to take a drug that costs $7,000 a month for her to function. She said, my grandson has Angelman's disease, and I said, I never heard of that. She said this disease affected him. He's 16 years old, and he could not walk or talk with this disease, and he's 16 years old and has never walked or talked. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, the track really encouraged me. You know, folks, it's not the track, it's God Almighty, because He created us. And I don't know what you're going through this morning, and it might be a time of darkness. You might say, you know, I lost a loved one, and there's a lot of darkness in my life. But I'm thankful for the lessons that God gives us. Because Brandon read every verse of this chapter. I'm going to start with verse 9. In verse 9 it says, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is He that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? Now pay attention. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. In the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Let's pray. Father, these are your people. This is your word. Lord, they need to hear from you this morning, not from me. I don't have any wisdom. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But Father, we need to hear from you this morning. Lord, I know some of our people are walking in some dark days. They have dark days around them. But Lord, I'm thankful that we have a God who provides that light for us. Lord, I ask that you would use this message this morning in a mighty and a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank the Lord for my mom. She's still alive. She's 83 years old. Lives up in Watertown, Wisconsin. She was strict. I mean, there was many, many times I got a spanking. I don't know if people spank their kids anymore, but I got a lot of spankings, all right? And I remember my mom, when we lived in North Dakota, my dad would be gone all week, and she had a check system. And she'd put down checks for each spanking, and she'd say to me, wait till your dad gets home. I did not like it when my dad came home, because she said, now this is, you know, here's a check system. Well, we'd make a sound with her mouth, and we'd be in a room, and there'd be a lot of people in that room. And I could pick up that sound because I could tell her eyes. She'd look across that room, and I knew I better behave. And I knew I was in trouble when she would use my full name. I knew your mom would use your full name when you were in trouble. Okay, all right, that seems a bad thing. She would say, Robert, Eugene, Hassel. Now you know my middle name, all right? They named it after a doctor that performed, you know, my birth. And I'm thinking, why wasn't he Anthony or Thomas or something? But, I should look at me and say, Robert Eugene Hassel. And I mean, I'd look at her and I'd think, oh boy, I better pay attention. But folks, in this passage, four times God says, behold, pay attention. Thus saith the Lord. This message is for all of us this morning. God is speaking to us. In 2020, in February. God has a message for every person in this auditorium this morning. Now, what is that message? First of all, if you're taking notes, the wickedness of the sinner. The wickedness of the sinner, you see. And folks, we all are sinners saved by grace. But notice in verse 1, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? So what the children of Israel were thinking is, God, you deserted us. You divorced us. God said, I didn't divorce you. God hates divorce. What God was saying, I didn't leave you at all. Some of them were thinking that God cut them out of their lives. Have you ever felt that in your life, that where is God? I pray to Him. I talk to Him. I cry out to Him. I try to come to church. I try to read His Word. Where is He? That's how the children of Israel felt. They're thinking, God, you deserted us. Then He also says, whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Now, back in Bible times, especially in the time of Isaiah, you didn't declare bankruptcy. If you owed someone money, you had to pay your debts. So many times you would sell your kids. And the two neighbors are thinking, Lord, what did you do? Sell us? I mean, why are we suffering? God turns it back on them. Notice what He says, behold, pay attention, for your iniquities have ye sowed yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. That happens to all of us. When we sin, it was the children of Israel's fault. They worshiped idols. They ran away from God. God didn't run away from them. They felt God had cut them off, and God did not cut them off. They had cut God off from them. And they were blaming God for their trials and problems. And folks, how many times do we get in a situation where it's our wrongdoing and we blame others for it? Well, we're trying to find someone else to put the blame on. Yet it's us. We're the ones that are at fault. Notice in verse 2, He says, wherefore, when I came in there, no man, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? So when he knows what they're thinking about. He knows what they're talking about. And He said, you think that I've deserted you? I haven't deserted you. You think that I don't have the ability to save, the ability to deliver, the ability to protect. He said, that's what you think. And sometimes in a dark time, we can get to that place where you feel like God's cut us off, and we can feel like, God, you don't have the power to deliver. My situation, my darkness is too dark for you. But notice what God says. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? He said, I sent my prophets. I have the word of God. I gave you Isaiah. Why didn't you listen? Then He says, or have I no power to deliver? Now notice what He says. Behold, again, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. He was referring to when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. Now, folks, that wasn't an easy task. 3 million Jews or more crossed the Red Sea. Now, you think about that. We go over it lightly. Can you imagine if you were one of them? I know what I would do. You know, you see water on both sides, and it's congealed, and some say it was like jello, okay? And the ground is dry, and that's a miracle in itself. And I'm supposed to cross on dry ground. You know what I would do? I would wait until the other group got all the way across, and then I would run across. I'd think, oh man, what if that water comes back? I'm a dead person. So God tells the children of Israel, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. Why is it we're harder on others than we are on ourselves? Why is it we find somebody else and we say, well, their sin is more wicked than mine? You know, I'm thankful for the wonderful grace of God. And I'm thankful that God gives us His grace every day, whether we recognize His grace or not. In a sense, they were denying the power that God had to deliver them. And I'm thankful for God's wonderful grace. I'm thankful for God that He has the power to deliver us. Now, we expect God to cut us off because that's what we do to others. How many times do we find someone that doesn't do what we want them to do, and they're in our lives and we just cut them off? Notice in verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. So he's referring to the third plague. We find out in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, what God says to Moses. He says to Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Wow. He says, Moses, you stretch your hand out, and I'm going to bring darkness for 3 days. Now, no one likes darkness. I remember years ago when we moved to Champaign, Urbana, and I was the youth pastor, became the youth pastor of this church. We came at 1 o'clock in the morning. Don't ever move to a place in the middle of the night, all right? It just doesn't look very great. Like, wow. I mean, things look kind of spooky at night. Things look a lot different at night. The verse, in verse 21, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Now imagine that. Imagine tonight when you went to bed, you got up in the morning, it was dark. It was dark for 3 days. You say, you know what? I'm moving someplace else. I don't like darkness. In verse 23, they saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So for 3 days, they did not move. They were very afraid they were going to trip over something or run into a wall. For 3 days, they did not see each other. God's in control of darkness. God's people are guilty of lawlessness because lawlessness is living by my standards and what I want by my wisdom instead of God's. That's what the children of Israel are doing. Lawlessness replaces God's law with my contrary desires. I become a law to myself. You see, what they were doing, instead of obeying God, they thought they were smarter than God. They thought they could outsmart God. But I love, secondly, we see the wickedness of the sinner, but secondly, we see the willingness of the Savior. So Isaiah talks about Jesus Christ. In verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as the learned. So what God was saying is, Jesus Christ is the spokesperson for me. I'm thankful that wisdom came out of Jesus Christ. He's the one that did right every time. He's the one that had the right words every time. You know, our words aren't always right. We don't always do things right. But Jesus was God. In John 14, verse 10, it says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. What Jesus said, these are not my words, these are the Lord's words. Wouldn't it be wonderful if just one day of our life we spoke exactly what God wanted us to speak? Instead of relying upon our own understanding, instead of giving somebody our wisdom, we give God's wisdom. In verse 6, the Lord God hath opened my ear. I mean that open ear means that He was willing to listen and obey. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Jesus Christ was a willing servant even unto death. He said, I'm not like the children of Israel. I'm not rebellious. I'm submissive. In Matthew 26, verse 39, the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. It would change our lives if that was our attitude. God, this is what I want to do, but I'm not going to do it if it's not what you want. Lord, your time, it's not my time, it's your time. It's not my money, it's your money. Oh, Lord, if you want me to offer up my body as a willing sacrifice, I'll do that. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ was submissive even to the death of the cross. Notice in verse 6, he said, I gave my back. That's important. They didn't kill the Lord Jesus Christ. He willingly died. He could have called 10,000 angels and he could have been delivered. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. We find this account in Matthew chapter 26, verse 67. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. Another smote him with the palms of their hands. Now, if someone was spit upon, that was a sign of disrespect. And according to Bible scholars, not just one Roman soldier spit upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All of them spit upon him. He didn't have a little bit of spit. His face was covered with spit. Now, folks, you think about that this morning. He willingly did that. Because he knew it was the will of God in heaven. Now, if you had the power to kill those people around you, you'd probably do it. He had the power, but he didn't do it. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. That's what Jesus says, and we need to understand that this morning. The Lord God will help you. He said, because I know the Lord God will help me. He'll protect me. He'll surround me. Wherefore shall I not be confounded? Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Doesn't matter what darkness you're facing this morning, the Lord God will help you. You say, how did he help the Lord Jesus Christ? After 3 days in the grave, he arose. The Bible says every knee will bow before him. The Bible says that his name was lifted above every other name. In verse 8, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. What Jesus is saying, they're going to attack me. They're going to verbally abuse me. But I know this. My God will take care of me. Folks, if you're a child of God, remember this. Your Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love. None of us this morning would like anybody to know everything about us. We'd wonder if they still liked us, would like us. But God knows everything about you, and He has all the facts, and you can't deceive Him, and He still loves you. In verse 9, He uses the word behold again. He said, behold, the Lord God will help me, Jesus says. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. What the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, all of us, we're like grass that withereth. In 100 years from now, we'll all be gone. So we see this morning the wickedness of the sinner, the willingness of the Savior, but the wisdom of the saint. And this applies to us this morning. Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness? You said, that's me, Pastor. I'm walking in darkness. And hath no light. Does what to do. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Then verse 11, I want you to pay attention to what he says in verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. You say, what does all that mean? He said, instead of turning to me for wisdom, you're living by the little spark when you're in darkness. And I've been to enough campfire services, and I had enough campfires in my life to realize this. You don't call out to people, hey, come over here, let's sit around this these sparks. No, because when there's a few sparks, that's when you take off because there's no heat. Several things about sparks. You don't light your house with a spark, all right? If you saw sparks coming out, you'd probably call 911, all right? Secondly, sparks are short-lived. What he's saying is the wisdom you have, especially about eternity. And there's all kinds of views on how to get to heaven, and some people think, well, there's many ways to heaven. Just trust in yourself. God said, that's going to lead you into darkness. You'll stay in darkness. Isn't it interesting? That hell is a place of darkness. And this morning, maybe you're in darkness. You say, now, how do you get out of darkness? But God is saying you don't rely upon your own understanding. Because your own wisdom is like a spark. You really can't see it very much. It doesn't last very long. But God is saying you trust in me. Darkness comes to every believer. If you're saved this morning and you have not experienced darkness, it will come. And many of you might be in a dark time right now, or maybe you went through a dark time. Darkness comes to every believer. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus said you're going to have tribulation instead of just trials? The word tribulation means to be pressed from every direction. The word tribulation means there's no way, no options out of this. You ever feel that way? You're in darkness and you've tried it and you're trying to rely upon that spark and it doesn't work. But God was telling the children of Israel, and He's telling us this morning, rely upon me. Darkness can bring out the best in every believer. Because in those dark times, it seems like God shines a lot brighter. I'm encouraged when someone, a believer, is going through a time of darkness and they have a smile on their face and their faith is strong in their Savior. Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness, hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. I could give you many examples of people that they shone brightly when it was dark in their life. I think of John Bunyan. For 12 years, he was placed in prison for preaching the gospel. While he was in prison, he started the work, The Pilgrim's Progress. Charles Spurgeon said this, I am certain that I never did grow old in grace, one half so much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain. So my message this morning for you, first of all, look to the Lord when you're in darkness. Trust in the name of the Lord. Many Christians have walked away from God during a time of darkness. They say, God, how could this happen? Lord, why would you allow for my child to do this? Or why would you allow for my finances to go south? Or why would you allow for me to have a disease? Or why would you allow me to lose my job? You need to understand this. God is sovereign. He's perfect in what He does. You can question God, but you'll never get an answer perhaps down here. But we need to know this, God is perfect. Not only look to the Lord, but lean upon the Lord. Notice what he says, trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay means to lean or rely upon his God. You know what happens here in times of darkness? After a while, you begin to lose your faith. That's when you need to really be in the Word of God. Because if you're not in the Word of God and you're just looking at your circumstances, you're going to judge God according to your circumstances. I'm thankful for this. God does not lie. He is always a good God. And by the time it reaches us, it's God's will. I don't understand that, but I do know this, that nothing can reach us without God. Going through God's filter first. We need to lean upon the Lord. In the darkness, you can often see the best of God. One of the disadvantages of not living out in the country is we don't see the stars like we did out here. I remember for years we'd have people come to our house and they'd say, well, you have more stars out here than we do. No, we don't have more stars, all right? Just less light. Do you realize that the stars are shining right now, but you can't see it because the sun is too bright? What's neat is when you get out in the country away from all the lights, it just seems like there's a lot more stars. And folks, sometimes when it's really dark and you're walking through that dark time, it seems like God shines a little bit brighter. There was an artist. He loved to paint different artwork. He spent months on a painting and then he wanted his good close friend to look at it and give his evaluation of it. And so he asked his friend to come and come to the building, and instead of showing him the piece of art right away, he had his friend go into a room and the lights were off in the room. He said, I'll come back and get you when I want you to see the painting. 5 minutes passed. His friend started to get irritated. 10 minutes passed. His friend didn't show up. 15 minutes, now he's fuming, he's upset. What is going on? 20 minutes went by. About 25 minutes went by, and his friend comes in and says, hey, I want to show you my painting, come with me. He didn't say anything about why did his friend leave him in a dark room. And so his friend brought him down the hallway, and they went to another room, and he picked up the covering. And his friend goes, wow, what a beautiful painting. Wow, I've never seen you do such wonderful work. This is gorgeous. He said, by the way, why did you have me sit in that room for about a half an hour in the darkness? I don't understand that. And his friend, the artist, said this, I wanted the glare of the day taken away. If you came in right off the street, you wouldn't have seen the beauty of the picture. Folks, I have news for you this morning. Sometimes it is the things of this life that take the beauty and wonder of God away. And sometimes He allows us to go through those times of darkness because He wants to shine a lot brighter in our lives. We will experience dark times. But remember this, God is in control. God loves you. He's not punishing you. Only He knows when that dark time will pass. And dark times come to all of us in various forms. We all can say, oh, my life is darker than yours. We don't know that. I do want you to understand you need to trust God. You need to look to God and lean upon Him. And God will deliver you. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a word of prayer. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I don't know your situation, but I do know this. Every person goes through a time of darkness. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning, how many would say with uplifted hand this morning, Pastor, I'm going through a very dark time. People don't know about it, but it's been dark in my life. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. God bless you. Many, many hands this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and you and you. Remember what God says? Look to me, lean on me. How many here this morning would say, Pastor, it's been dark in my life, and I have no hope. I'm not sure I'll spend eternity in heaven. That concerns me this morning. I'd like to pray for you. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. Is there anyone here this morning? You say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you please pray for me? Would you raise that hand? Is there someone like that here this morning? Anyone at all? You say, Pastor, I don't want to go to eternal darkness. Anyone at all? How many would say this morning, Pastor, I'm a Christian going through dark times, and I need God's help. I need to believe with confidence that God will help me. I need to look to God. I need to lean on God. I need to stop leaning unto my own understanding. Here's my hand this morning. Pastor, please pray for me. I need God's help. Would you raise your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands.